Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel's second quarter 2020 results presentation. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. I'm now pleased to introduce Mr. José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon, and welcome to Euskaltel's second quarter 2020 results conference call. My name is José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Joining me is Ángel Alabuenaga, our CFO, and Alfonso Enriquez, our Head of Strategy and Investor Relations. First of all, I hope that you and your families and friends are in good health. We are very glad to share with you these second quarter results because they obviously include our Virgin Telco contribution for the first time. So for us, it's a major milestone completion. Virgin Telco has allowed the company to deliver record customer growth in the second quarter. Total mass market fixed customer net adds were 11,300 in the quarter, a record fixed customer growth for us. Strong customer growth was the result of the good performance of the traditional business with 4,800 net adds, and the successful launch of Virgin Telco with 6,500 customer net adds in its first month since launch, despite the portability restrictions in the market. Footprint expansion has been key to customer growth as the company has grown its addressable footprint to almost 19 million households in the quarter, another major milestone completed of our strategy roadmap. Financials were also solid in the quarter. Revenue continues growing for the third consecutive quarter, slightly impacted by the COVID-19 in terms of handset sales, as one of the main, obviously our shops were closed, and also some service suspensions in the Soho area. EBITDA, four consecutive quarters of strong growth, even taking into account Virgin Telco launch campaign costs. If we exclude the Virgin cost, efficiency initiatives have resulted in an EBITDA growing at 8.8% year-on-year. Strong EBITDA growth and a controlled CAPEX have resulted in operational cash flow growing at more than 10% year-on-year. On June the 5th last year, the company announced a new strategic roadmap with three clear objectives: to create a single and efficient integrated organization, to improve the traditional business of the company, and to launch our national expansion brand. We are very glad to announce that 1 year later, all the objectives have been accomplished ahead of expectations. A new efficient and integrated organization supporting the four brands was implemented last year. Traditional business EBITDA reached 92 million in the quarter, ahead of our expectations due to the implementation of efficiency measures. Virgin Telco was launched on May 20th, and results are strong in its first month of operations. The successful implementation of the strategic roadmap drives record growth and profitability. Focusing on efficiencies, the traditional business of the company, excluding the Virgin Telco, has obtained record profitability in the quarter, as I mentioned previously. Traditional business EBITDA has reached 92 million in the quarter, over 10 million per quarter more compared to first quarter of last year, and represents a 40 million per year of run rate efficiencies, mainly coming from the implementation of the single organization, the sales channels mix towards non-face-to-face channels, a change of customer care processes to a more efficient and customer-oriented structure, the cancellation in June last year of unprofitable football rights amounting to close to 10 million per year, and more importantly, additional efficiencies are still to come as yet. Last 12 months efficiencies initiatives have delivered results ahead of expectations, and further initiatives will assure the continued delivery of efficiencies going forward, including further rebalancing of the sales channel structure, the continued improvement of customer care processes, the optimization of network access management, which for us is key, the integration of network and operation suppliers, the introduction of self-installation processes in the customer chain, further integration of IT and network components. All of these projects already in place assure that efficiency delivery and profitability improvements will continue in the coming quarters. Virgin Telco launch on May 20th has been one of the main highlights of this quarter, undoubtedly. Virgin Telco launch campaign has been focused on the unique and flexible and value for money offer, unlike any other offer in the market. The customer chooses what he needs and saves on what he does not want. That simple. Virgin Telco take-up has allowed a progressive trend since launch, with every week sales beating the previous one to achieve 6,500 fixed customers just 1 month after launch. The good results has achieved despite COVID and portability restrictions. These trends continue in July, and fixed customer net adds are expected to surpass those in June despite the seasonality effects. Virgin Telco has been the customer growth driver in the quarter, and improving trends will drive the company results going forward. Strong customer growth has been achieved thanks to a significant increase in the company addressable footprint. The company's growth opportunities have increased eightfold in just one quarter. Firstly, through the traditional business, customer growth was 4.8 million in the quarter, as we mentioned previously, in two main areas, two main drivers, the 500,000 additional households added in March and the 3.5 million households in the five expansion pilots, that is Navarra, Catalunya, La Rioja, Cantabria, and León. And secondly, the Virgin Telco expansion with almost 19 million addressable households nationwide, which has resulted in 6,500 new Virgin customers in the quarter. Let me just share some of the operational KPIs. As I mentioned already, obviously the increase in footprint coverage is one of our main drivers. During the quarter, as I've said, 5 million households coverage in the as part of the operator agreements. New access management for us will be key to the company of in the coming quarters. These are two main drivers. Firstly, obviously, we want to continue to grow that footprint through increased footprint and addressable market. That's obviously key for us, and we continue to exploit and look at those opportunities. And secondly, and probably more important, is now focusing on profitability of that footprint. So new and more efficient footprints will drive customer margin for us. Record customer growth is one of the highlights of the quarter, as I mentioned. And this is key for us. We've always spoken that, but fixed customer net adds of 11,300 in the quarter were mainly a result, as I mentioned already, 4,800 fixed customers net adds in the traditional business, which for us is a great effort. And that's mainly due to the stability of the customer base during the COVID-19 lockdown. That it's, you know, it's something that I think we've managed very, very, very well during these months. And it's, as a result, I think it's an important part of these numbers. The addition of the 500,000 households in the three traditional regions allow us to actually become more efficient in terms of our sales surface, and not only efficient in sales surface, but also in churn. For example, when we have a customer change of house, change of address, obviously we've got additional households now, and that's improving that process. Continued positive growth in the five expansion, as I mentioned previously. And of course, the successful launch of the Virgin Telco with its first month since launch has added 6,500 new customers. In line with customer growth, service have also experienced strong growth, and we've been reporting this quarter on quarter, which for us is important because it gives you a direct vision of the quality of our customers. So those 11,000 broadband services in the quarter are a tremendous effort from us, but the 8,000 television net adds that have been driven through good performance of television during the COVID-19 lockdown, obviously, and the higher than expected television service take-ups in the Virgin Telco customer base. I think these two effects is something we predicted in the first quarter results. And of course, the 20,000 mobile services net adds. The B2B business has also experienced a strong performance during the quarter. B2B customer growth in the quarter was driven by strong demand of telecommunication services from corporate customers, driven by the COVID close down measures, primarily more demand for more services and more capacity for those services. These are the two drivers that have driven that increase in customer. And as a result, the B2B customer base has surpassed the 16,000 customers in the second quarter of 2020 and has driven strong B2B revenues, as we can see, growth with an increase of 4.4% year-on-year it's a tremendous effort, mainly driven by those two, by these two effects, and obviously the effort from the B2B team. Let me just share, let me now pass on to Angel, who will share some of the financial reviews of the company.
Thanks a lot, José Miguel. Revenue continued its positive evolution in the quarter and is now on its third consecutive quarter of positive growth. The slight negative impact from customer suspensions related to COVID-19 was compensated by, in first place, the very good performance of mass market revenue as a result of both the good performance in terms of customers and ARPU, and specifically taking into account that the company reached 2 million euros less in mobile handsets year on year. The strong performance of B2B revenue in line with customer growth and the increased demand of telecom services by corporate customers during the COVID-19 lockdown. Only launched in May 20th, Virgin Telco contributed with 0.2 million euros to the revenue of the quarter. The continued implementation of efficiencies has resulted in another quarter of significant cost reductions. SG&A costs were down by 7.4% year-on-year, driven by efficiencies in the following areas. Personnel, due to the implementation of a single and more efficient organization, as José Miguel already mentioned. Customer care, driven by the implementation of results-oriented processes. And sales and marketing, driven by the change in the sales of mix of the company to less costly non-face-to-face channels, as was also mentioned before. Nonetheless, second quarter SG&A costs were impacted by the 3.8 million euros Virgin Telco marketing launch campaign. Not taking into account this and some other Virgin Telco costs, SG&A costs would have reached or would have reduced by 17.5% year-on-year in the quarter. The continued delivery of efficiencies results in another quarter of a strong EBITDA growth of 3.7% year-on-year. If we were not to take into account the 4.3 million euros negative EBITDA from the launch of Virgin Telco, year-on-year EBITDA growth would have been 8.8%, even surpassing the 8.1% year-on-year growth of the first Q. As a result, traditional business EBITDA has reached 91.8 million euros in the quarter, which is record in terms of profitability in the traditional business and surpasses the expectation of the business improvement plans announced last year in the strategic roadmap. As mentioned before, longer-term business improvement plans assure the continued delivery of efficiencies and profitability improvements going forward. CapEx had a very positive evolution in the quarter as it reduced to 36.6 million euros due to the stability of the customer base resulting from COVID-19 lockdown measures, which significantly reduced subscriber acquisition investments. Once again, if we take out the impact of Virgin Telco CapEx in the quarter, mainly related to customer growth and network investments, traditional business CapEx would have been 33.5 million euros, a substantial reduction versus the previous quarter. As a result, operational cash flow generation has surpassed 50 million euros in the quarter to reach 50.9 million euros, meaning 29.6% of revenue. Without taking into account the impact of Virgin Telco, operational cash flow generation would have reached 58.3 million euros, a record cash flow generation for the traditional business. As a result of a strong operational cash flow generation, the company continues on its deleveraging path, with total net debt reducing 25.8 million euros in the queue. As a result, net debt is already at 4.07 times EBITDA in the quarter, down from 4.12 times in the previous quarter. Additionally, average debt maturity is 4.1 years, as the company announced on July 9th the refinancing of its 215 million euros amortizing debt into a bullet facility, which will save the company 150 million euros in repayments over the next 2 years. With an average debt maturity of over 4 years, an average cost of debt of 2.6%, and on a clear deleveraging path, the company has a solid balance sheet structure in order to achieve its future ambitious targets. And now, let me give back the word to José Miguel for him to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you very much, Ángel. Just to conclude, Euskaltel is presenting strong results this quarter. First and most importantly, we are very proud to have accomplished all our strategic roadmap milestones in just a year. We have achieved record profitability in the traditional business, resulting in $92 million of EBITDA in the quarter, well ahead of our initial expectations. Another key milestone has been the successful launch of Virgin Telco, with 6,500 new customers on the first month of operations and accelerating in the month of July. Continued efficiency delivery has driven strong EBITDA growth in the company and will continue to drive further efficiencies going forward. And finally, as a result of strong EBITDA growth and controlled CapEx measures, strong cash generation is reducing debt. The above allows us to have confirmed our full-year guidance and demonstrates that our strategic roadmap is well on track to delivering shareholder value creation. Thank you very much for your attention, and let's pass on to questions, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Michael Bishop from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, and thanks for the presentation. Just two questions, please. Firstly, picking up on this very strong efficiency delivery, it's interesting when you talked about the future opportunities there, and given you've delivered 40 million already, I was just wondering if you could give us any sense on the sort of size of the future efficiencies you see and also the potential phasing over the next couple of years. And then secondly, picking up on the Virgin launch, obviously you launched into, I guess, quite unprecedented circumstances. But as we start to see a normalization of lockdown, is everything in line or ahead of your expectations for the Virgin brand and the customer traction as the situation becomes slightly more normalized? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. Just two things, maybe Ángel or Alfonso can chip in, but the efficiencies for us obviously were very key, a very key milestone in our strategic roadmap very early. This is the reason why you may remember that when we announced the strategic roadmap, we quickly, very quickly got into you know, reorganizing our company towards, you know, getting that single organization, reorganizing all our processes, reinforcing all our traditional brands, and we spend quite a lot of months getting efficiencies that will also drive preparedness for our national expansion. So we've obviously prioritized our initiatives in the last 12 months towards those operational efficiencies that we wanted to achieve, but at the same time, we want to do the necessary, you know, preparedness to launch national expansion. So what you've seen in these last quarters has been the effort of that, which are, you know, the efficiencies that we needed, obviously to recover some of the synergies from the integration of the three companies, but at the same time, efficiencies that we needed in order to get prepared for the national. But we still obviously have a lot more initiatives that we're implementing. They're not maybe as, you know, the as quick as to implement, like, for example, the integration of IT and the integration of network components. Obviously, we continue to, you know, to drive towards more efficient sales channels. We've done tremendous effort over the last 12 months in terms of changing the mix. You know, we now have more, and to some extent, you know, the COVID period has actually allowed us to actually fast-track the adoption of non-face-to-face channels, because we've had to close down shops and also we've had to take out, you know, sort of door knockers from the street. So that's obviously allowed us to push on to the non-face-to-face channels like the online, the inbound and the outbound. So obviously that's helped to increase our more dependence. And we are now, you know, by far doing more sales from the new non-face-to-face channels than the traditional, let's call them, presential channels. So that's obviously areas. We still have a lot of work to do. For example, you know, we obviously accelerated a lot of effort in terms of getting footprint, you know, that 19 million households. that there's a lot of work to do in terms of getting, you know, more, you know, more efficiencies from managing, you know, the footprint in much better. So there's a lot of initiatives to actually improve that, and we have a lot of work on that, and so on. So there's, you know, there's the, for example, the self-installation processes, which is, again, continues with what we were doing last year, which is self-installation not only reduces cost in terms of provisioning, but more importantly, it gives us an excellent customer perception, because, you know, and speed to provision. So it's those sort of measures that we obviously are continuing to implement, not only in the traditional footprint, but also in the Virgin new launch. And these are the things that are, this is the reason why we're confident that obviously we're going to continue to improve in order to ensure that, you know, that you know, efficiencies continue. In terms of the Virgin launch and ahead of expectations, you know, we did manage to launch in May, and despite the confinement, which was, by the way, it was the month we expected. We launched on the 20th. Original plans was to actually launch probably the first week of May. So, you know, we were, you know, just about on time. We didn't do a pre-launch. Is normally, you know, useful in this, when you're doing a large campaign like the one we've implemented, quite ambitious national campaign, and, you know, with tremendous impact. So the soft launch, you know, give you the possibility to fine-tune some of these processes. Obviously, COVID-19 did not allow us to do soft launch, so we launched on the 20th. And despite the fact that, obviously, particularly during the first, 30 days, we've been, you know, fine-tuning and ironing out some of those teething problems that we obviously everybody has when you launch something as major as well and as different as what we've launched. Despite that, as I said, we've been able to, you know, to report these growths. And so, therefore, we're very happy because, you know, if you consider that we launched Virgin Telco on the 20th, with, you know, portability restrictions as well as confinement restrictions, and on top of that, without the possibility to have done a soft launch, you know, I'm tremendously proud of my team and the effort that they've carried out, because obviously it's been a complete success. So, you know, this is where we are, and I think now what we're seeing on a day-to-day basis, we're seeing how we are picking up momentum and accelerating, and that's goodness. But one thing to recap is obviously we have a commitment with shareholders to, you know, on a profitable growth, process or profitable growth roadmap, and for us that's important. So at the same time we continue to exploit or to look at the opportunities in growth, we also, you know, will be looking and will be implementing efficiencies in terms of our growth channels, and we have a lot of work to do there. I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Joshua Mills from Exxon. Please go ahead.
Hi there, thank you very much. Two questions from me as well, please. Just firstly, on the competitive environment, as I think Mike said, the commercial momentum on your side has been pretty strong this quarter. Be really interested to hear about what you see elsewhere in the market. From the portability data, it does look like it's still very competitive, and some of the promotions we can see from your competitors, particularly at the low end, also seem to be fairly aggressive. So just be interested in your thoughts there and whether you've seen any change in competitive environment as we go into Q3. And then the second question is just a kind of more technical one. Following the extension of the Orange wholesale deal you announced last month, could you just remind us of what network coverage you expect to have outside of your core regions by the end of this year, and then maybe the end of next year as well? And also what percentage of the traffic you have in those areas is going to be going via the Orange network, where I understand you get a bit of a discount, versus the traffic on the Telefonica network? Thanks very much.
Thank you for that question. One, I think I've mentioned this a number of times, and fortunately, Euskaltel is coming or is being present for many years in what are the most competitive regions in Spain by far. Not only have we had the five operators in our territories for many years, but also we have had the most competitive offers in the market for many years. In fact, many of the offers we've had in the Basque Country of Galicia have been quite more aggressive than, you know, than the offers from those respective operators anywhere else in Spain. So therefore, you know, we're quite used to, you know, the competitive environment that we've had in our territories for quite a long time, and it's no secret because you can actually, you know, I think I've commented, and so therefore, you know, that's, you know, we're coming from a very competitive environment traditionally, and you know, we're coming into a competitive environment which to some extent is probably very similar, maybe not even it's actually not as competitive nationwide as our traditional territories. So, you know, our traditional territories have always been more competitive than the national. And so, therefore, Virgin is in a comparative market, but, you know, but it's probably even less competitive than what we have in our own territory. So that's, you know, we're used to that. We know that. We're taking that into consideration in our strategic roadmap. So this is, you know, I just want to share that with you. And by the way, you know, the reason we selected this positioning, which was a one brand that provides value, is because we know, you know, the convergent space, right? And what are the, you know who are the players there and their offers and the characteristics of their offers. And we also know the low, you know, the low cost brands, you know, that barrage of brands that exist in the market, and you know, we've perceived that, and I think it's now confirming with the numbers we've presented these first few, you know, just this month, that there is a space for value. And it's interesting, by the way, that on a national wide basis, we've seen some of our competitors already beginning to pitch for that value proposition. We've seen some of our competitors in the last few months, a few weeks, by the way, since we launched on the 20th of May, to some extent, you know, making efforts to, you know, to be on that space, which I think is great, because I think it shows that, you know, that Euskaltel's intention, you know, for the value proposition, obviously is a key or is the right one, and we're going to continue to develop, you know, our proposition to customers in that sense. And you know the less than, you know, the internal, you know, three minute onboarding process, the ability to allow the customer to select whether he wants to be a full convergent or a, you know, or a less, you know, sort of more pick as you wish services offer. You know, with no ties, and you know, this sort of proposition, I think, is being very much valued, and it would be more even more valued if you consider, you know, the COVID and the likely effects of, you know, any downturns. Obviously, I think, you know, the sort of offers that we're proposing are to some extent very much aligned with, you know, with the market and the tense of the customer. So, of course, we look at competition, but you know, we spend a lot more effort looking at customers, talking to customers' needs, you know, how they perceive us, you know, because I think, you know, today this is where value and this is where, you know, growth, if a value proposition, is going to come from. So this is a little bit the dynamics of the company, and we have tremendous roadmap. We have a tremendous sort of, you know, roadmap in terms of product and features that are going to come out. Today we're launching a major sort of campaign, more than a campaign, but, you know, restructure our tariff plans in our traditional regions. You know, you're going to be seeing a lot of activity from here until the 23rd of August, and you're going to see something, you know, from last week of August. So there's a lot of activity, and it's all sort of on this line, on the value proposition line, which is where, you know, where we're going to be. This is where we said we were going to be 12 months ago when we presented the roadmap, and we're sticking to it, because I think customers are, you know, obviously confirming that we're doing the right direction. A lot of work, but it's the right direction. In terms of footprint, which was your second question, you know, we were very happy to be able to get to that, you know, 19 million footprint, which is made up of obviously, you know, majority of the 13 million or so households from Orange, but then there's an additional as additional 6 million footprint coming from, you know, various other agreements. And we're going to continue. We've done tremendous progress over the last few months in terms of developing agreements, which are going to continue to increase our footprint, probably beyond the 20 million towards the end of this year. And more importantly, as I mentioned to you, what we want to do now is to zoom in to our footprints, because we want to improve efficiency and cost base, because we're very much a profitable growth model. So for example, we want to make sure we're pushing certain channels in the right footprint. So we don't want to be just growing anywhere for the sake of anywhere. We want to be smart about where we grow. And that means that, you can do in certain footprints, you can grow with online or inbound, and in other areas, you got to grow, and you can grow with, say, outbound, but in other areas, or even you can grow sale points, but in other areas, you may have to limit your sales accordingly to your customer economics. We're very much focused on customer economics. For us, this is key. It's a commitment, part of our business plan and our strategy roadmap to provide shareholders a commitment to growth, but a profitable growth. And you've seen the effects of that. You've seen the EBITDA. You've seen cash flow. You've seen the reduction on that, and we understand that that's coming from having a profitable growth strategy in the company. So this is the reason why, obviously we were keen to get, to those 19 million households, but we also need to make sure we are, continue to deliver efficiencies even in our footprint, and we've got initiatives to do that. And beyond next year, I think there's opportunities there. I think we announced just a few weeks ago that we have made an agreement with Orange to further deploy in the further deployment of Homes Pass, which obviously is good, because it's probably not going to give us necessarily more footprint, but it's going to give us a better customer economics once again. So we continue to look at those opportunities, and we're going to be very proactive in that sense.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Pedro Oliveira from CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on the results. A couple of questions on my side. The first question is regarding CapEx. You were able to deliver a CapEx level overall below 20%, which I think it's a threshold that you haven't been below for quite some time. I was wondering how sustainable you see this trend. If we pick up on commercial activity in the coming quarters, is likely that you'll again breach the 20% over sales, considering particularly that in this quarter, I imagine you should have had some costs on launching the Virgin brand. And my second question is if you can provide a bit of color on your Virgin net adds. First, if you had any in terms of mobile only, and second, the wireline subscribers of Virgin brand, what kind of subscribers are they? Are they conversion subs? Are they subscribing pay TV or not? And how many SIM cards are they subscribing on average? Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. I think, firstly, the first thing I think I already mentioned is that we are 100% committed to our guidance. For us, meeting guidance or overachieving guidance is what we're about. This is what the entire executive team and myself are, 100%, more than 100% committed of that. So obviously for us, Pedro, we have a guidance, a CapEx guidance, and we continue to work. We've caused challenges. We've had the COVID, so the COVID is coming. We've accelerated some investments, particularly in network capacity and network performance, which obviously was necessary. But that doesn't mean we're not committed. We're going to continue to drive even more efficiencies in CapEx and OpEx to make sure we mitigate, these sort of effects that always happen in the market. Because if it's not COVID, it's something else. So you must be ready to make sure that you have got enough initiatives to mitigate to compensate effects. So we're committed. Obviously, we'd like to have more growth, So we'd like Virgin to surpass and to grow more than expected. That's what we're about. But at the same time, we want to be very much focused on customer economics. We want to be very much focused on SAC levels. We just launched Virgin a month ago. And we have a lot of efficiencies to work on, and so I just want to make sure that you hear me clearly and loudly. We are very much for growth. You know my history, so you know that growth is what drives me. But at the same time, we are committed to profitable growth. So this is fundamental. That everybody, all hands on growth, but also all hands on customer economics and efficiencies in terms of CapEx and OpEx. So this is fundamental for us. And I think, this is why we have our guidance, we have our business plan. I think, I believe that obviously we're driving good momentum, which I just mentioned, that July figures are, June figures were ahead of expectations, and July figures are likely to be ahead of June figures and ahead of expectations. But we need to be driving good measures, good practices, best practices in terms of, CapEx and OpEx, because we want to make sure we achieve the best possible customer economics to make sure that we do comply with the profitable growth commitment we have with shareholders. So that's where we are, and we can obviously expand on the numbers, probably Angel or Alfonso. The Virgin net adds, some good news, because what happens with the net adds is that because of the COVID, some of the more traditional channels, like particularly obviously presidential channels, we do have in mind some points of sales, particularly in very specific, very tactical positions, but obviously they haven't happened. They've been delayed because of the COVID. But even, some of the telesales, some of the outbound platforms, they were, particularly in the last, when we launched, which was May, they were still very much, not operational. So the great news is that our performance has come primarily and, or majorly from our online sales. And that's great news, right? And so that's the first, the first thing, dynamics to share with you. The second is that we're getting better than expected, take up on value broadband, which gives you an idea that obviously value broadband, like the 600 megs speeds, that is obviously telling you already that we're getting quite a very, probably ahead of what we expected, convergence or high value convergent packages. And this is obviously good news for us. We've seen a higher take up than we expected on high television packages as well, right? So high television packages is higher than what we expected probably on our business plan, which is also good news. And mobile is very much in line with what we expected in terms of the take up. And that's the good news. And I think also, mobile only is pretty much in line with what we expected as well. I guess the two good news there, apart from the fact that, the mix of channels is coming primarily from the online at this stage, I guess is the above, the outbound and some of the other, other channels, become more active, we'll see those grow as well. But, our growth is coming, majorly from the online, and that's good news from our customer economics. It's good news from SAC. It's also good news from churn, because obviously, online channels normally produce less churn. And so that's the goodness. And the other thing I would share with you is we're getting a good uptake of high-value broadband, 600 meg speeds. We're getting a good uptake on high-value television packages as well. Those are the two dynamics there, or three, points I would share with you now in terms of the Virgin. But as I said, it's only a month. And as I said, COVID's still there. So, we understand that those dynamics or those are logical. I think you'll see a progressive different mix probably further down, particularly post September.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Yvonne Leal from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, José Miguel. To be honest, the numbers are really impressive. it seems that the market is
very
competitive. And that, so let me understand a couple of things. The first one on the launching cost of Virgin, okay, how that is going to perform in the coming quarters. I mean, we need to assume in this second quarter we have 1 month on launch of launching cost, and therefore that is going to be multiplied by three. And eventually, I mean, it has detracted very little EBITDA in the second quarter. So I don't know, when do you think that Virgin is going to start contributing positively? Yeah. The second one is, you've mentioned that you stick to guidance, okay? But actually, you're running ahead of guidance. Okay? I think operating cash flow is like growing like 7-8% in the first half. Am I right to assume that with that money, what you're going to do is, you know, pour that into accelerating Virgin Telco growth, okay? Which, I mean, it would seem reasonable to me for the second half. And the final one, just very brief one. I've also been very impressed by your net adds in your home regions. So you've seen similar trends in the three different regions, or there is, you know, difference between the three there?
Okay, good questions, like always from you, Yvonne. In terms of launch, you know me well as well. No, you know, that's it. We've done a launch, and it's been impressive. We got 31%, you know, top of mind awareness on online surveys, which was a very good result. We got a tremendous, we got a 28% acceptance on people when we asked them, you know, who is the operator that has launched, you know, do whatever you want, advocate de la gana, do whatever you want. Just choose what you wish, save on what you don't need. We got a 28% market awareness of our campaign. And, you know, considering that it only ran for like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, I think it was a tremendous campaign, a great effort from our team. Really, really, really happy for everything we've done. But, you know, we've done the campaign, and now it's back to, you know, we're in business. You know, this is, you know, how we are. You know, we don't spend one single euro on campaigning. You know, we spend all our, you know, all our money goes into sales. So we run a model which is generate, and we know exactly how much we spend on a daily basis, on a per sale basis, on generation. And we play with that. You know, we negotiate with the channel, you know, with the television channels. We negotiate with all the agencies on that. So, you know, we're into, you know, how much does one single, you know, net add or sales, gross add cost me in terms of generate? How much does one single, you know, gross add cost me in terms of convert? So, you know, we measure the generate and convert cost on a per sale basis, on a daily basis, and we make real-time decisions where we put our money. So, you know, if this slot at 3 p.m. is not working out, and, you know, guess what? The 6 p.m. slot works better. And by the way, it's actually cheaper. So we're going to go on the 6 p.m., right? If this channel is providing me 100 euros of, you know, of convert, and this other channel is costing me 250 euros of convert, and I can get, you know, more growth, I can get more, you know, more momentum, or, you know, higher sales on the lower cost, I'm going to put more money there. So this is now on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. I review it personally. This is what it's about, and that's what it's going to be about. So from now on, all our, you know, publicity campaigns are being measured on a daily basis, and the team is being, you know, is being driven to basically, you know, reduce that to a minimum. And, you know, fortunately, we've had experience with this sort of, you know, process in the past for many, many years, and we know exactly what are the KPIs we need to chase, and we're working on it. And so that's, you know, that's what we're doing, and it's daily. So that's it. You know, there's no more campaigning. You know, it's sales. So we're on sales now. We wanted everybody to be aware of, you know, what is Virgin Telco, what is it, who is it, and what is this about. We did that. It was very successful. 31% awareness in the market, way beyond, you know, many other propositions in the market on the online, and 28% in terms of awareness of our campaign, which, you know, great, tremendous response. And you know, our cost, I think, were very reasonable, you know, considering the results we've achieved. So I think it was a wise decision to launch on the 20th. I think we were ready, and we knew what was going to happen, and it was wise. We had lower communications clutter in the market, and we had from competitors, and we had everybody at home. And then just 1 week later, portability restrictions were lifted. So, you know, it was the right moment for us, and it paid dividends, and it allowed us to have a campaign which was, you know, just optimum in terms of, you know, what we spent and what we achieved. But that's it. Done. We did a good job. Now it's about running sales, and that means, you know, cost controlling on generate, cost controlling and volumes on convert. And, you know, and that's what we're doing on a daily basis. A lot of improvements to do there. We mentioned before, this is what we need to be focused on, and that's where everybody's focused in the company, right? So that's that. In terms of, you know, our guidance, I think, you know, I think we managed, you know, the COVID period, you know, extraordinarily well. Not only the downsides were managed, but I think also we were able to manage some of the potential upsides, and that's what you're seeing in Q2. We've launched, so we're ahead of schedule in that sense, because I think we did a fast track launch, and you know, we need to continue to grow. As I've mentioned before, we need to be looking at, you know, customer economics. We need to be looking at those profitable growth, you know, opportunities, and also avoiding some of the non-profitable growth, you know, areas that we may want to. So, you know, for us, I think, you know, we need to, you know, press on and continue. We are, you know, maybe in some KPIs we're ahead of our schedule, but, you know, I think we need to have further growth in that sense. In terms of the net adds, you know, we're happy. I think obviously that's growth. I think we're happy that in July, which normally is a tremendously seasonal month, as you know, July, August, we're seeing good, you know, good momentum despite the stationality, which, as you know, happens. Everybody goes to the beach, and in fact, we are getting a lot of movement to the second homes, for example. We're seeing that, or even on the moves of, you know, people activating second homes. So we know that's going to happen. But fortunately, we've had we're getting good momentum in July. You know, I think we're going to continue to press on in August as well, because, as you know, football season starts, you know, I think it's the second week in September, which is slightly delayed to other years. And we do have some football still, so that means, you know, I think we're going to continue to drive in this sense. And I think, you know, these are opportunities that we need to focus on.
Okay. Thank you, José Manuel.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, if you have any comments or questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter a queue. The next question comes from Simon Coles from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, thanks for taking the question. Just listening to your comments and looking at the numbers, is it fair to understand that Virgin Telco is running ahead of your expectations in June, and it's looking good in July, but you're actually probably running sort of below where you would have thought the operations would have been because of COVID, in the sense that you don't have some of the face-to-face channels you would have liked, and you're not at your full target coverage yet? So I was just wondering on your thoughts on that. And then on the Virgin Telco, I know it's early days, but can you give us any indication of what the sort of most common product mix has been taken? Is it just broadband plus mobile, or is it, say, broadband plus mobile plus TV? Any sort of color on how that's progressing would be very interesting as well. Thank you.
Well, I think, Simon, what we did say is that, you know, we reported net adds in Virgin ahead of expectations, right? So that's, and the reason is, I think the mix was, and I also said that the mix was good, because despite the fact that we didn't have some of the, you know, outbound channels fully up and running, we got tremendous performance on the online channels, right? So to some extent that one compensated the other. Now the online channels are coming on board, so I think we'll have a more sort of expected mix. But with we want to make sure we keep the online channels continue growing and with good momentum. So I guess it's clear to you. We did manage to get net adds ahead of expectations in July. In June, and we're getting a good momentum in July, and that's coming from a very positive mix, which is majorly online, and we're getting some of the some of the other sort of outbound channels, etc., coming on board. By the way, on Virgin, we don't have non-face-to-face channels, right? So we only have non-face-to-face channels, right? So we don't have presential channels. We don't have shops. We don't have, door knockers, right? So all we have is non-face-to-face channels, right? Just to make that clear to you, right? So that's, and then the other thing, I think I also sort of tried to highlight that what we're getting in terms of product mix when I answered to Yvonne is that we're getting a better uptake in our convergence, but obviously more very good uptake in terms of 6 megabit speeds. By the way, 6 megabit speeds is directly proportional to converging packages, right? Because when most high speed packages come together with a complete full convergence, so we're getting a good uptake on high speed broadband, which is directly linked with convergence. We're getting also a very good uptake or higher than expected uptake on value packages, value television packages, right? And so these are the two product, mixes that, we consider positive for us and in line with, particularly with mobile uptake and so on and so forth. So, so that's what I mentioned once again in terms of the product, which I think is a very positive mix for us because we're getting, we're getting quite interest, quite a good, convergence package uptake. And by the way, that's considering that, as I mentioned before, a lot of the sales is coming from online. That means that the customer is choosing, right? It's not that we're pushing those packages. It's the customer is choosing us, for those value packages. Once again, I think demonstrating the Virgin Telco, I think has captured the value customer proposition.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There are no further questions. The speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Okay, well, once again, guys, thank you very much. We are very proud, and from here, I really like to thank all our team for the tremendous effort, particularly in the last 12 months and particularly this quarter. And we'd love to have you guys on more one-to-ones. I know that the situation it doesn't believe it, but anyway, we miss the one-to-ones with you guys. So hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to get back to, to those one-to-ones and be able to do this in a more presential manner. And of course, just before I go, take care and take care of your friends and family, and look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you very much.
This now concludes the conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.